Attention all Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn Radio listeners. The Odd to Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast brings you the best in East Coast esoterica on the first of every month. Together, we can keep it growing by sharing the show on social media, subscribing to the show wherever you may be listening to it from, and by leaving feedback about your favorite episodes. John certainly needs a friend like you to help make his dreams come true, minus the alien abduction dreams. That is not cool at all. The Odd to Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast. Always available. Always free. Always odd.
The following podcast is brought to you by Newfie EVP, Talking with the Dead in Newfoundland. Jump on Amazon.ca today and get your free sample of the best-selling ebook in Unexplained Mysteries.
It's the odd to Newfoundland. Ghostly greetings from your host, Jonathan. Mysteries, ghosts, monsters, and lore. East Coast esoterica and so much more. If it's odd to you, friend, it's on the odd to Newfoundland.
Ghostly greetings from the oldest city in North America. I'm your host, John Mallard, bringing you the best in East Coast esoterica. You, my friends, have stumbled upon the Odd to Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast for the month of, well, it's not really a month episode, guys. This is a bonus episode. Yeah, you're right. Before we get into that, I gotta let you know, you're wonderful. You're a masterpiece. You're beautifully made. You're important to people because you're important to me. You're highly favored by your creator, whether that's a god or the law of averages and physics working in tandem. You, my friends, are thirsty for knowledge and addicted to wonder. You, my friends, are an oddball. And here on this show, we are family and we are one. This is episode, well, bonus, we'll say, 53 of the Odd Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast, your monthly paranormal variety show. And this is going to be a little change of pace because, well, I've decided that we're going to leave the world of the paranormal behind just for tonight. And I've got an old friend on the phone, someone I've actually known for the better part of two decades. And before we jump into, you know, actually say this guy's name, I want to give you guys a little history lesson. Just a little history lesson. Once upon a time, believe it or not, I used to wear tights. Yes, it's true. The rumors are true. Not only do I podcast in my closet, I also used to wear tights. And now you've got that mental image of Johnny, and we'll leave it at that. Guys, I'm a huge, huge wrestling fan. I'm a pro wrestler, so to speak, once upon a time, but not anymore. I'm a quote-unquote retired. And, well, just because I'm gone doesn't mean the wrestling scene here in Newfoundland hasn't grown and prospered. In fact, it's gotten bigger than bigger. Way, way bigger than we ever thought or expected. I actually turned on the TV the other day and was absolutely blown away by New Evolution Wrestling, the recent, we'll say, most recent promotion here in Newfoundland. There are a couple on the go, but this one is actually on Rogers TV, which is so, so cool. So you know what? It's WrestleMania season. We just got through Wrestling New Year, so to speak. I'm a huge wrestling fan, so this is going to be a treat for all the wrestling fans and my paranormal peeps who have, you know, subscribed to the show. I know not everybody's into wrestling. I'm going to say if you're not really into wrestling, you might not really enjoy this one as much. But I'm just going to throw it out there to you. Because behind the scenes of a wrestling show is incredibly, well, bizarre. There's a whole subculture there. We're going to talk about that tonight with my guest, the owner, operator, the head honcho, the man behind NEW, New Evolution Wrestling. Guys, tonight I've got Travis Canning on a bonus episode of the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast. Chili, my old friend, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me. How are you?
Oh, wonderful. And, you know, listen, thanks for taking the time. I know you're super busy because guess what? I'm also just throw that out to you guys. April 20th at the CLB Armory. Advanced tickets are sold out. Yeah. New Evolution Wrestling presents New Republic Rumble. So you can only get a ticket at the door to this. Like, this crazy. Just that alone just blows my mind. And you know who they got coming down? Yeah. Used to be part of Eminem, man. Joey Mercury himself is making an appearance. That's so cool. Tell me a little tiny bit about this upcoming show, Travis, and why people should want to go to it.
Well, essentially, it's our take on the, I guess, the Battle Royal, or WWE does their Royal Rumble. But what it is essentially it's a big event where all the wrestlers sort of wrestle for an opportunity to main event a future title match, I guess. We've done it three or four different ways. Now, this particular event is we're introducing something called the Golden Ticket. But basically what happens is the winner can use an opportunity for a championship match at any time that they feel like in any event that's coming up in within a year. So that's a great opportunity there for sure.
Oh, so like I throw it out. It kind of sounds to me like it's almost like the Money in the Bank opportunity that WWE has. Hey, something similar to that.
Yeah, so I guess that was kind of the premise. It was something we were trying to put together, and we didn't want to do like the ladder match thing because we felt like, you know, you can't, if you're going to do something, kind of take your own ownership on it, you know. So use a similar idea, put your own spin on it type deal. So that's sort of what we came up with on our end.
Very, very cool, and I just love to hear that. So not only did you get to go to this show, right off the bat, if this is your first ever NEW show, which I'm sure a lot of people who listen to this podcast might actually check out the show after the show, you know, it's actually a reason to come back to the next show to see if somebody actually cashes in, so to speak, their golden ticket.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and that's part of the drawing factor, actually, because someone show up, there's a little bit of spontaneity because of something like that. You never know when it's going to happen, so that's definitely a drawing factor for sure.
Oh, man, part of getting old is this idea that, you know, where you come from sometimes, well, takes over. And I can't help but say this, it's got to be said, but I got to call NEW Refl W, because every guy that used to referee my matches are now like the top dudes on the card. It's so cool to see that, and it's so exciting. Tell me a little tiny bit about some of your, shall we say, bigger names on the card right now. Who are your, you know, main dudes and dudettes?
Well, definitely for sure the two most popular guys we've had on the roster since the beginning were Wild Thing Tony King and Dynamite Dylan Davis. They're two of the top local attractions that we've had right from the beginning. They've been there since day one, and the fans seem to latch onto those two guys in particular. They had some great matches, some great feuds, and they fought over the title a few times, and most recently in front of 2,600 people at Mile One Center at a joint agreement between us and the St. John's Edge basketball team. So that was a huge thing. So, you know, those two in particular, I mean, Psycho Mitch has been around for a long time as well. So, I mean, we have a lot of people on our roster, a lot of locals. So I seem to have sort of collected all of the guys from the local scene over the years and put the best of the best under one roof. So I'm feeling good right now.
And I would say you would, you know, just a little history lesson. I you know, we kind of talked off air a little tiny bit. I don't want this to be about the past because NEW is all about the future, but I can't help but say it. I mean, a former guest on my podcast, Ryan Williams, a.k.a. Buck Gotch, and Travis Canning now, you guys used to be a tag team back in the old NCW, and now you're both the guys who are running two separate promotions in Newfoundland. Now, how cool is that?
If you had told me that this was going to happen 20 years ago when we met Johnny, man, I would have never predicted that at all. I know, like for myself, I know we all used to wrestle and sort of mingle in that back in the day. But for me, I always wanted to be a promoter. So as much as I never predicted it, I kind of worked hard for it, but I never ever figured it would happen. You know what I mean? It was just something that stars aligned, things fell into place, but I would have never predicted it. It's so cool. Yeah, it's unbelievable.
I just love the fact that it's guys that I actually know who are kind of heading it up right now. And, you know, it took a long time to get there, obviously. What do you think would be the main difference? I mean, I can think of 110 right now. I haven't even been to one of your shows before, and I can already tell there's a huge difference between wrestling, say, 20 years ago and wrestling now. What do you think is the main difference, say, here in Newfoundland? What's the main thing that's changed?
It's a business first, and it's a business in general. I'm not sure that the people years ago had the business savvy. I'm not trying to downplay anybody whatsoever. I mean, there's things that I can't do that other people can. But I don't think there was a lot of marketing or anything put into wrestling back in the day, and I don't really think that people really focused on adequate training or bringing in guys that could help develop people properly. I know that sort of started when LCW came around, and the launch of CEW in 2012, that happened. But prior to that, it never happened at all. And then with myself, we've just exploded, so we're able to do that on a larger scale again. So it's evolved over time, and everything's just gotten better from a talent perspective, from a developmental perspective, from a crowd perspective. So I think a lot of it's just business sense and marketing. It's a business first, and that's what I think the major difference is, if you ask me.
And it's so good to hear that. You know, I was actually very fortunate to be a part of one promotion that actually came along that actually was the first time workers ever got paid Newfoundland, which was EWE, Atomic Wrestling Entertainment. It was the first time anybody was ever handed money, like legit money, local workers, not guys from out of town. Local guys actually got paid to wrestle. So that's about as far as I got. I'm so glad to hear that you guys have taken that one step further, maybe 10 steps further. You're on TV now, you're getting bigger arenas, stuff like that. Like, to hear that those small little footsteps that were taken by some have become gigantic leaps over the last 20 years. Listen, I could never be more proud of that. And I think it's awesome. I think it's awesome that we could still call up and chat even on the phone for my podcast. Because in a lot of ways, well, if I hadn't grabbed a microphone, I probably wouldn't be behind one today. Do you know what I mean? And I think it's important to let everybody else out there know, too. Once again, this is actually coming up on the 20th, guys. The 20th of April. It's a few short days away. It's the Republic Rumble event. It's at the CLB Armory, the historic CLB Armory. I mean, come on. I had some of my most bloodiest bloodbaths there. New Evolution Wrestling presents New Republic Rumble. Travis, tell me a little tiny bit about some of the guys on your roster. You mentioned Tony King. I had my run-ins with that punk before. You mentioned Dynamite Dylan Davis. Unfortunately, I never did get a chance to have a work with Dylan because, well, the last time I saw him, we were both in slings in the ring. And, of course, Psycho Mitch, well, we all know that I destroyed him. Tell me a little tiny bit about some of the new blood. I want to hear about the new guys, the NEW, the new breed, so to speak, new up-and-coming wrestlers right now that I should be watching out for as a wrestling fan.
Well, you know, TJ Taylor has been someone who's been breaking out a lot, and he's got a lot of charisma. He's very athletic. He's someone to probably watch sometime in the future. Obviously, this is a local independent wrestling scene, and not everybody can wrestle every night as much as we'd like to. But TJ's a guy who always gives 110% in his matches. He's certainly a standout. And even like some of our top guys here, like Dylan and Tony, who have been in the ring with him, have even said so himself, like, he's learning. He's coming a long way. He's taking trips to other places to wrestle in other territories periodically to see, where he can learn. And, and aside from that, I mean, Bulldog Brandon Hines is another one. He's a nice, exciting guy that just pops a crowd, and he's deceptively quick for his size and deceptively conditioned for his size. Moves around really well. He's half athletic. He plays hockey. He's, I shouldn't say half athletic. He's athletic for a big man. He plays hockey. There's a lot of guys there with a lot of talent and mobility. And
listen, dude, anybody, I got to cut you off. Anybody who's gotten through Lance Storm's wrestling school is 100% athletic. Thank you very much.
Well, I think you're thinking of Blake Maxwell.
Am I really?
Yeah.
Is he still at it?
Blake?
Yeah.
Yeah, Blake is around, man. Blake's wrestling on our show on the 20th. Actually, he's facing Joey Mercury, former WWE star Joey Mercury. So, and he faced Eugene back last summer. So he's heavily involved in everything that we're doing, man.
I've actually tried to get Nick Dinsmore on the show because, believe it or not, Nick Dinsmore is a big theorist as well for a lot of paranormal stuff. He loves conspiracy, so I always kind of wanted to get him on the show. That'd be interesting, and even just to have him as a soundbite doing Eugene would be so good.
Yeah, but he's a quirky dude. He's quite funny. I spent the weekend with him, listening to some of his stories and just listening to some of his, his comedy, the little jokes that he would make here and there. And to some people, they'd come across cheesy, and they are, but he's a gem, man. In that regard, I can't speak enough about that. He's a guy that, you really listen to have a good time on the road, for sure.
Awesome. I always think, my God, what would happen if Johnny Chaos, somehow squeezed into his tights, got the surgery he so desperately needs on his shoulder and feet and got back into the ring? What would be the first thing you think would blow my mind as a wrestling fan walking into your building? What do you think would be the
as
first
a wrestling thing? Fan?
Yeah, just as I a think wrestling the first, fan.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
That's okay, go ahead.
So you said as a wrestling fan, you walking in there?
Yeah.
I think the first thing that you would see is the presentation. Is it looks like a wrestling venue. It's not just a random building with a ring in it. I mean, it is that. But when you walk in, you know that this is a setup. This is a stage. This is a presentation. You know, the merchandise is set up in the back. There's a canteen. There's the chairs are set up properly. There's proper guardrails. You know, there's steps going to the ring. Everything is branded with a logo. There's brands going around the ring. It's you know, it looks like a business. It looks like something that you want to pay for a ticket to see. So from a fan standpoint, going back to comparing it from like years ago, that's something that you would notice right away. No matter who's wrestling on the card, you know, as soon as you walk in, that's the presentation.
That's so great. So that means if I line up at the door on the 20th of April at the CLB Armory, I got to get in it again. You know, I'm just horrible for this. New Evolution Wrestling presents New Republic Rumble. If I was to show up April 20th at the CLB Armory and I walked in through those front doors, I'm going to walk into a wrestling show. It's going to be comfortable. There's going to be a canteen. There's going to be star sign and autographs. There's going to be merch. Dude, this sounds like a dream come true. Speaking of big dreams come true, we got to talk about the ultimate dream, the Fed, so to speak, WWE. Me and you, we kind of got to have a chat because Wrestling New Year just took place. I mean, we're taking time right now out of our busy wondering what the heck's going on SmackDown because this is Tuesday lives here. And we're going to talk a little tiny bit about WrestleMania because I think this year's WrestleMania was probably the best Mania really since 30. I think it was really, really well done. Some questionable calls there, but I think it was really, really awesome. I'm a huge fan. And, you know, I just thought about some of the marquee matches me and you might have a little chat about. And the first one that really jumps out to me is, and I hate to coin the term women's revolution in wrestling because really, you can't even say revolution. The women have pretty much taken the spotlight for the most part at this point in WWE. It's unreal. I am just blown away by that match between Asuka and Charlotte Flair. I don't know about you, but I think it was probably one of the best, not just women's wrestling matches, probably one of the best matches with build-up I've ever seen. How did you feel about that match? I was blown away. I don't know about you.
I felt it was more like the build-up. I didn't really catch on to the build-up all that much. I was like, okay, she won the Royal Rumble. She's getting a title shot, you know, and a couple of little tiny small promos. And as you know, there's a language barrier there. So Asuka's promo skills aren't the best in terms of conveyance to, you know, our market. But, I mean, she makes up for it in the ring. But when you get to WrestleMania, it's almost like that was like a wrestling, you know, gem of a wrestling match. And I can't think of a better women's wrestling match that's happened at WrestleMania in a long time than that. You know, strictly based on wrestling alone, I think that was the story in of itself. They got in the ring and they created their own story, which kind of was like, that's old school. You know what I mean? You build it in the ring and it ends in the ring at the end. And I thought that was so cool.
It was a really awesome story, actually. And, you know, one thing that I loved was the fact that Charlotte actually did something a little different to beat Asuka. She had to go one step further. And that was when she put her in the figure eight. Okay, she had to push up on one hand and with the other hand bounce herself up just a little bit higher just to be able to beat her. And I thought that was just such a cool little nod because something similar happened in Flair versus Steamboat. So I thought that was so cool. And then there was also the entrance, you know, just I don't know if anybody remembers it or not, but, you know, I think it was WrestleMania 30, I'm pretty sure, when Triple H came out. He was actually carried to the ring on a throne, and one of the women who was carrying him was Charlotte Flair from NXT. So now this year, Charlotte Flair is being carried to the ring on the throne, and the guys from NXT are lifting her up. I thought that was very poetic. I love that. And I caught on to it. I don't know if a lot of other people did.
I didn't catch on to that, but that's something that's been a common theme in wrestling. You can go back to, I think it was a 93 or 1994 King of the Ring. Whatever one, like, what one did Mabel win? I think it was 95, actually. After that, when they were carrying him back and forth from the ring, the people who were carrying him, the Hardy Boys, I believe, were, you know, so that's something that dates back a long time where they start using wrestlers that they will probably use for greater things later just to sort of get them used to the business. And that's a thing. That's something that started right from the beginning. People, some in the territory days, people will start out reffing and they migrate into something else. Bret Hart started out reffing. So I see that as something that's been transcendent over time.
I think it's really, really cool. It's almost like a rite of passage, you know what I mean?
And it is.
And one of the cool things about wrestling is that, believe it or not, although there's a lot of things in place to make sure, shall we say, the weak-minded don't get very far in a promotion, there's a lot of things that push people down. When you do break past that barrier, you actually do see people hand off the torch very respectfully. And that's something I certainly miss with wrestling. Now let's talk about a match that, shall we say, probably wasn't living up to the hype that a lot of people thought it would be. And that would be, you know, a match that I was looking forward to really since it was announced, which was Shinsuke Nakamura versus AJ Styles. Now, everyone had this built up mainly because of their recent matches in Japan a few years back, that this was going to be a dream match. WWE hyped it as a dream match. This match was going to be unbelievable. It was going to blow you away. And what we got was probably not the best showing they've ever had, and I think a lot of people may have been disappointed, but then we've seen the reason why. What do you think about Shinsuke Nakamura turning heel?
I love it. I think it was a necessary component, and a lot of the times at WrestleMania, especially when it comes to championship matches, what you find is they usually use that platform to either blow off a program or they use it to start one. When you think about it, Shinsuke and AJ were both top faces in the company. The dynamic when you have face versus face is very hard to do because you're splitting the audience. So when he won the Rumble, I mean, it's almost him going heel is something that needed to happen. You know what I mean? They needed to start a story that was something different than, oh, you guys are facing each other and you fought each other in Japan years ago. So, there wasn't really much of an investment there, at least not from like a casual fan standpoint. But now they have something they can sink their teeth into. Everybody can sink their teeth into. And guys like you and myself are going to want to watch them wrestle again. And they'll probably have a great match at like SummerSlam or somewhere down the road, another bigger venue or big event, where they'll probably be given more of a platform where there's not so many marquee matches on the same night and the audience isn't as drained and they have more time to do what they need to do and a better story. So I think they made the right call on that.
100% agree. And I had validation of that. I was actually excited when Shinsuke low-blowed him. I loved it. And I never had so much validation until the next night when he cut that promo with Renee Young in the hall. And he, you know, coyly looks down and winks at the camera and said, I did not mean to hurt AJ Styles. And everyone's just laughing. And then he goes, sorry, no speak English. I thought that was the best thing they could have ever done because it's in a way, it's true. In a way, it's true. There is a language barrier with his accent. So I thought it was awesome. I think it's a great way to, shall we say, bring some life into Shinsuke. And you know, I will say this though, I am kind of sad because when he was in NXT, I think Shinsuke was perfect. But I'll make the argument, the reason why he was so perfect, it was all about the entrance. It was all about the entrance. And then when he actually got into some, you know, bigger matches and stuff like that, they weren't the greatest. I think his best match was probably against Sami Zayn. So there you go.
Let's talk. I agree with that. It's one of those things too where yes, his entrance is great, but at the same point in time, wouldn't you think WWE would be all over that whole flashy type character? Because he's charismatic, he's flashy. The ring work you can improve, and I'm not saying he's a bad wrestler, but you know, if you're saying that he has had matches that were subpar, I think he has a different style. But you know, to get them to where he needs to be, even. I think he has like 3 out of 4 what you need to be, I guess, the top level WWE guy. And he's someone from a different market that WWE loves to tap into. So they are eventually going to pull the trigger on it, no doubt, for sure. I think they will.
I think the whole purpose of him being heel is so that he'll be taken seriously, you know, this time next year if they do pull the trigger and give him the belt. You know what I mean? And I think it'd be really, really cool to see a heel Shinsuke Nakamura, you know, taking on God knows who. I think he could make a lot of stars, believe it or not, because, well, if you're having trouble translating as a face, chances are you're probably going to translate a lot better as a heel. And that in itself is a storyline.
Yeah, for sure. And a lot of the times when people can't get over as a face, the best thing to do first is to turn them heel. Because the audience, if you're trying to force a face, then the audience automatically just gets, you know, disgruntled or agitated or some sort of negative emotion towards that particular character for no other reason than the fact that they're just like confused or just don't want to look at what you're doing. So by turning them heel, you're feeding right into that and just amplifying it. So yeah, it's easier.
It definitely is easier. Let's talk about, well, I'll talk about the main event now because, well, personally, what the hell were they thinking? But anyway, Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar. I can't stand either one. I'm going to be honest. I can't stand either one. The reason why I can't stand Roman is because they won't pull the trigger and make him full on heel. I think he'd be amazing as a heel. I really do. And Brock Lesnar, I'm just, I can't, that character of Brock, It's not that I don't like Brock or even the fact that he goes in and beats the crap out of people. I think it's, I've just seen it for so many years now. It's the same kind of thing. It only really got exciting when, personally, I think when Goldberg actually made him look a little weak. I thought that was really cool. I was actually shocked by that. Anyway, everyone thought for sure that, you know, Roman's gonna capture that title at Mania, but they didn't pull the trigger. And, I think me and you will probably agree on this. I think they want to do it at that Greatest Royal Rumble. And, you know, that might be what's going on. But what did you think about that match?
I'm going to say that I like the match. But when I say I like it, it's almost like my expectations for that match were a little bit different based on the type of wrestlers that you're dealing with. So I don't ever go into a situation like that thinking this guy's going to pull off like a, you know, luchador chain wrestling style match. You know what I mean? Or fast-paced NXT matches between whoever. So I never had those expectations. But I did know it was going to be a typical big man match where they're going to hit each other's finishers, maybe crash each other a bit on the outside through some things, some barricades or whatever have you. They did it with some tables, I think. So I kind of knew what they were going to do, and I don't think the match itself was bad. I think it shouldn't have been the last match.
Agreed.
And just because the audience was drained by that time, I feel like they would have appreciated more had it happened earlier. I really do.
And now,
and that's just my opinion.
And now we got to talk about, in my opinion, the actual main event. And you know, I'm gonna admit it right here on my podcast. Look, I don't like Ronda Rousey. I hate her. But guess what? She turned a few heads at Mania. She's been doing a lot better. She's starting to transition. So you know what? We have to call a spade a spade. Stephanie McMahon, Triple H versus Ronda Rousey and the returning Kurt Angle. Bless his heart. I'm so glad to see Kurt back. I thought that tag match was probably the most tag psychology I've seen in a match in a very long time. I also love the fact that, well, Stephanie McMahon apparently is one of the best women's wrestlers on the planet. And just blew my mind. What did you think about that tag match?
I thought it was honestly the best match of the night. That's just my opinion. From a psychology standpoint, from an audience reaction standpoint, from an investment standpoint, including myself, I think Ronda like blew everybody's expectations out of the water. I feel like the match was heavily designed and scripted. I feel like they were going down to the Performance Center and probably going over that match at length, but I think they needed to, and it worked out for the best. But I can't say enough. Like, and I love Ronda Rousey anyway, so unlike yourself, I'm a bit biased. But aside from her on the mic, I think she's going to get it in the ring. I think she will.
I wish that – and I mean, it was painfully obvious that she never really got the whole wrestling school treatment. You know what I mean? I wish they had kept her under wraps for 6 months and trained her like a savage and just trained her so that when she came in, she knew what she was doing right from the start. I mean,
right.
It's too bad, but I guess sometimes you got to strike while the iron is hot. And, you know, I must admit, yeah, that her mic skills are just, they're non-existent at this point. And let's hope that all changes. But, I mean, I can think of other athletes that came into wrestling that weren't the best wrestlers, but were athletes and eventually kind of acclimated. You know what I mean? So, I mean, think of The Rock. I mean, to me, The Rock is a great example of that. Dude, he was a crazy football player before he got into this. So, like,
at least he was an athlete.
Yeah.
How about this? Trish Stratus, one of the greatest women's wrestlers of all time, At one point, she was a fitness model. When she came into WWE, she didn't even look like she should be in the ring.
That's right. It was almost embarrassing.
And by the time her career was over, she's a great little worker, you know. And, over time, people, change and adapt and they learn. And, it's going to be trial by fire for her, but she's going to get it. I know she is.
I love it. And we're always Stratus out. We love to see Trish Stratus, actually. You know, it blew my mind, actually, at the Royal Rumble when she came back and she actually looked better. She actually looked better so many years later. So I think that was great.
Yeah, I think so too. That Women's Royal Rumble, not to backtrack, but that was absolutely amazing. I enjoyed it. It's probably my second favorite Royal Rumble. Nothing beats a Ric Flair Rumble, but, you know.
Okay, it's time to play the name game. I love this. We got to do this. A little homage to past people out there who like to do the name game thing. So we're going to play a little differently here on the Odd the Newfoundland Panel Podcast. I'm going to say the name of a WWE wrestler, and I want you to give me, well, somebody who puts you in mind of them in your own wrestling fed. You follow?
Oh, God.
So let's say I say, oh, I don't know, Kane. The first person to pop in my head might be Psycho Mitch because he has a mask, but, I'll never say that to poor Psycho Mitch because I personally think he's a way better wrestler. tell me, do you guys have your own version of, say, Kevin Owens?
Bulldog.
Yeah, Bulldog Brandon Hines, who didn't go to wrestling school. I'm sorry about that, Bulldog. Please don't come to my house and beat me up with your super awesome chain.
I don't know
chain.
If he didn't attend a wrestling school, but he didn't attend Lance Storm's. But I think he did some stuff in Ontario. I don't know if it was a formal school or not, but he has been trained.
There's something lost in translation there. And, he shows up at my doorstep some night this week with his great big metal chain and says, get out of here, I'll beat some sense in you. I'll understand why. All right. Have you guys got a version of, Hulk Hogan?
Well, I guess he's not as big and tall as Hulk Hogan, but I guess if you're going for flash and muscles, Dynamite Dillon Davis is probably the Hulk Hogan of the company.
There you go. My ex-brother-in-law. My ex-brother-in-law. There you are. You are the Hulk Hogan of Newfoundland Wrestling. That's hilarious. I'm sure he'll love that if he does take a chance to actually listen to this in between cooking tuna. in between steaks and weights and shakes, you know what I mean? Tell me a little tiny bit. Do you guys have, oh, God. I got to say one of my least favorite wrestlers. Do you guys have a Dolph Ziggler?
we kind of do. I want to know what you mean by that first before I say it.
Somebody who's really good, but they're not on top.
Or someone who works on top but hardly ever wins.
There you go.
Scott Humphries.
Scott Humphries is the Dolph Ziggler.
He Poor is, and Scott. He would take that as the most ultimate compliment.
He definitely would. And hey, side note, Scott Humphries is a brave, brave soul. One of the few people on this planet to ever actually go with me on a ghost hunt. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. How's that one for times well spent with friends? Okay, so we got to pop the Rumble one more time, but this time I'm going to let the owner, operator, head honcho, the cheese, the mayor, the president, shall we say, the owner of NEW, New Evolution Wrestling, take it away. When is the Rumble?
It's this Friday, April 20th at the CLB Armory. Doors open 5 o'clock for VIP, 6 o'clock for general admission. And the show is featuring former WWE superstar, multi-time tag team champion, Joey Mercury.
Love it. I hope everyone goes. Guys, it's been a pleasure talking to Travis Canning tonight. And, I hope to be able to get out to one of your shows eventually. I hear they're awesome. They're fully populated, shall we say. There's lots of people there. There's lots of old faces, lots of new faces. And I hope and pray to God Bulldog Brandon Hines doesn't show up at my doorstep, to correct me about his wrestling past. That would really suck. From the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast, Travis, thanks so much for being on tonight.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Well, the time to say goodbye is upon us. But don't worry, you can keep track of the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast very easily. It's available on Stitcher, iTunes, Podbean, and TuneIn Radio. Just look for the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast banner course, if you'd like to keep up to date, you can always check out the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast Facebook page, drop a like, and every single time a new show goes up, you'll be notified. You can also follow me, John Mallard, on Twitter, at O-D-D-T-O-N-F-L-D. That's Odd to Newfoundland. From the oldest city in North America, I bid you adieu. From the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast.